Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. I'm Helen Corsi Cadmore, an award-winning business growth specialist, coach and consultant, and a mum to twin girls. My podcast is about having honest conversations with busy, ambitious females about growing your business to have a better balanced life and, of course, avoiding burnout. If you enjoy this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fabulous and Female. Today I am delighted to be joined by the lovely, lovely Lucy King. Lucy and I kind of met by chance at a networking event, going back now about 18 months ago. And I really wanted to get Lucy onto the podcast because Lucy is a qualified chartered surveyor with over 20 years commercial property experience. Lucy is also the owner and founder of property consultancy Gellar Property and also the co-owner of Borkum Property Compliance, both of which are in their scale-up stages of growth, which is super exciting. Lucy is fortunate enough to have worked in both the private practice and client side for a number of corporate entities across the UK, including more recently the well-known brand Halfords PLC. And in her guise, Lucy is now proud to be working for some big blue chip occupier clients, including the Scoffs Group, which, if you've never heard of them, is one of Costa Coffee's largest franchisee, Linnaeus Veterinary Group, owned by Mars Pet Care, Helping Hands Home Care, and Pure Electric, just to name a few. When she's not busy running the two businesses, she can be found out riding the family's horses with her two teenage girls, Ellen and Georgie, or walking the family dog with her very patient husband, Rich. So lovely to have you. Welcome, and welcome to the podcast, Lucy.
Thank you very much, Helen. Thank you very much for having me. I am a podcast virgin. So I'll get it out there now whilst we're talking now at the start.
Well, and I wanted to have you on because I've never had anybody that's really worked in property before. And I think it's really important to have a broad range of people on the podcast. But also your industry, from my opinion, is very male dominated. And I thought, you know what? Lucy has done bloody amazing.
Oh, thank
in
you.
Her role so far. And when I said like 20 years experience, I'm like, oh my God, that just shows like my age as well. Because we're similar in age, aren't we? So before we get into more about your professional side of your life, I'm going to ask you a couple of quick fire questions.
Okay.
I've only just started doing this and I actually love it. It's just a lot easier.
Okay, cool. I'm ready.
So, you're ready. You're like, hit me up with it. Okay. So first things first, dark or milk chocolate?
Oh, see, milk chocolate is, I love, but it's really bad for you. It's got so much sugar in. And Rich has been trying to get me to eat more dark chocolate because otherwise, you know when you open a bar of Cadbury's chocolate?
Yeah, gone within like a second.
Exactly. Whereas you open something like the green and blacks, which is a bit more expensive, but you can actually savour it and you can have a couple more pieces rather than it all going. So it means that when you go in the cupboard the next day, it'll still be there rather than you decimating a bar of Cadbury's. So,
right.
So
go on.
My heart says milk. My head says dark.
Now, once you start to love dark chocolate like I do, it doesn't stay in the cupboard for the next day. It is literally gone.
Bam.
Right. Yeah. And
the window. No.
Okay, so we've gone the chocolate. Right. Now, this will be a test. Salt and vinegar crisps or cheese and onion?
Oh, see, I like both. I don't know. I've got a favourite. I think they're on an equal playing field. I could, yeah.
Okay.
But if you chuck smoky bacon in, then they would adapt to be my favourite every time.
I would never chuck smoky bacon in, ever. It would be like the bottom of the pile.
One cocktail can do one, but smoky bacon, yeah, I love it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, equal playing field.
Equal playing. All right, then. Beach, snow.
Oh, they again, these are really hard because, as you know, I love my ski holiday every
Yeah.
year, and every year I love my beach holiday too. But we
Oh.
had this debate when we were away skiing, actually, my husband and I, and I think for me, as much as I love skiing, I think it would be the beach.
Yeah, good. Bit of
Yeah,
sun, not too much,
not
with
yeah.
protection. Good for you, good for
Especially with
your
the
life.
weather over here, as it is at the moment,
Ah,
it's been
don't.
ridiculous. So
I
yeah,
know.
I'd say as much as I absolutely cannot miss a ski holiday, to me, the beach and that bit of sunshine,
Bit of
definitely.
sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, do you know what? It's interesting, right? Because I reckon if we lived in a warmer country, or we had our definite seasons and they didn't just last for like months and
Yeah.
months and months and months of rain, we'd probably be more like, yeah, let's go, skiing. But actually, because we don't get
Yeah.
it's like, just, oh,
Yeah.
anyway. Okay.
Exactly.
Last one, tea or coffee?
Oh, I can't drink coffee, so my tea is absolutely, there we are. That's a dead sit.
That's a dead sit.
I wish, having run two businesses and with two small children, I could drink coffee. But yeah, tea every time.
Tea,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I
Sugar, sugar in
love
your tea?
yeah, half a teaspoon of sugar, not half a cup,
Half a
bloody
cup. What's the point? What's the point? Oh, half a cup of sugar. Yeah, you'd be flying. You wouldn't need the coffee.
exactly. So no, half a teaspoon of sugar, a little drop of milk. It's got to be absolutely skimmed milk, nothing else. So
Okay. There we
yeah.
go. Right. Isn't this interesting? So I'm sure the audience will already know a little bit more about Lucy. She can't make a decision. And she nearly likes half a cup of sugar. Anyway, right. That's so interesting. Okay, let's go back to what the podcast is all about. So business, balance, and burnout. So let's take a step back. So when I introduced you with your professional bio, what I'd love to know is what really inspired you to get into that industry or the industry you're in?
Yeah, it's funny because I get often asked this question because I see it with my children now, it's kind of this decision, where does that seed start in terms of when you're in school and everything else? And it's funny because I always, as a child, wanted to be, my parents laughed, my husband laughed at me with this, is that I either wanted to be a doctor or a solicitor. And I loved sort of the thing of knowing about people's, bodies and sort of just about illnesses and all that kind of stuff. And how I used to love a conversation around the dinner table with my brother-in-law when he was in medical school about what's the worst thing he's ever seen. And
Oh my
these,
God, can you share?
well, yeah, I can, and I'll come on to
Okay.
that in a minute because it's always quite funny because it was always funny looking at my husband's face when we obviously just still boyfriend and girlfriend at this point in time, and him being very squirmish. He hated conversations. I know. So doctor was always something I fancied, plus solicitor, and it's I always felt, and it's wrong to say this, but I always felt, oh, I'm never going to be that clever enough to be either of those. So
Yeah.
I don't know what, maybe that
Interesting.
self-doubt started as a youngster. It's funny.
Yeah.
But then I don't know, I started doing a bit of sort of summer work and then got a Saturday job in Darlow's estate agent back in the day,
Yeah.
showing people around houses, and I loved having a nose in people's
Oh,
houses
God, yeah.
and taking people out. It's better than just
Loved it.
working in a shop than just
Yeah.
standing behind serving customers. And I really enjoyed that. But I thought, oh my God, I'm the kind of person who can't sit still. And I
No.
thought, I know. Frightens you, doesn't it? And I kind of thought, is it going to get a bit boring just showing people around houses? Not that I, underestimate the role an estate agent does in any way, because I know you've done that,
I have done that for many years, yeah.
absolutely. And but I just thought, am I going to get a bit bored? Is it going
Yeah.
to, I want something a bit more scope. And yes, you could have gone down the bit more of the, residential property development route, that side of things. But then one of our family friends had a property development business, a commercial property development business based in North Cardiff.
Yeah.
And he is still a family friend now. And he had me working with him over the summers and sort of being a bit of a sort of going out, shadowing him on the property stuff he'd done. He'd done quite a few big office developments, industrial
Yeah.
developments, that the likes of kind of some of the stuff in Clinician Trading Estate where he built. So he was,
If no one's familiar, just to interrupt there, Luz, if no one's familiar with Cardiff area, Llanision is a lovely area, really nice, and it's a mixture, isn't it? It's got some trading, it's got a lot of residential. It's like about 10 minutes drive from the city, so
And it was really, apologies, I need to give context on that. And he was obviously quite an accomplished property developer. Anyway, he took me under his wing and he knew a lot of the guys in sort of, I say guys, and that's quite an important thing. Come back to that in a minute.
Yeah.
That was a slip of the tongue. And actually, it just goes to show.
Yeah.
So I ended up, he was very, very good friends with the national brand at the time that was called King Sturge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were based all over the UK and they had regional offices. And I was doing, again, started doing the summers with them. And then sort of they offered me a placement and they offered me a job following my university degree.
Fantastic.
Of course, that inspiration started, if you like, from the age of sort of 16, 17, and just grew. And that's how I got into it. And, you know, the next steps then were it kind of opened doors for me by being under his wing and him having the contacts and me seeing what he'd achieved and what he'd done. And I thought, oh, I could do this.
And yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Was that a big thing to see? Oh, look how far or well he's done. And I want a bit of that.
Yeah, and it was really exciting. It was really, the whole, so architecture has always really interested me.
Yeah.
I'm not your typical person just to walk down a street. I will walk down the street and I will be looking up at above around me because I love those buildings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I bore my husband a bit sometimes because I'll say, oh my God, look at the front facade on that building. And really? You know, whilst he's thinking about what time the football match is on, so
but it'd be just boring though if we had all the same interests, though, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Come on,
absolutely. And I think that's what inspired me was that ability. And I suppose I quite liked architecture, you know, I liked that side of things. That was an avenue as well. But for me, the commercial property sort of scene, I just really enjoyed. And then I sort of started looking about what a surveyor was about, and I thought, it's quite interesting, and you went from there.
Yeah, it is. Let's go back to that thing you sort of come back to about the guys, slip of the tongue.
It's funny because, you know, I think back to my university course. And so I studied in University of the West of England.
Oh, yeah. UWE.
It was around the time I was supposed to be going to Glamorgan, but the RACS, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, stripped the university of the accreditation because the standards they were starting to question.
Really? That
was literally just before I was about to go to university.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It was quite a mad time because it affected quite a lot of people.
Yeah, and I can imagine.
Got an offer to Reading, got an offer to Liverpool John Moores, and got an offer to Bristol. So I just decided to go to Bristol. And the amalgamation of courses with things like, business in property, investment in property, all these kind of things, various different titles. But we used to do a lot of lectures together. And I remember my course in particular, which was a, you know, sort of property management, asset management sort of led role. There was four girls on the course of a total of around 22. And the reason I said about the amalgamation of the other course was quite important as well, because likewise, you know, you think spread across all of these courses that were coming together to joint lectures. Out of a handful, you know, I think back to our lectures and our lecturers as well.
Were they all male?
Yeah, I didn't have one. Lecturer and I didn't have I didn't have one female lecturer, and I think probably there were about four females per course.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy and it is mad. And then, you know, when we talk then about kind of, I said the slip of the tongue, you know, from what I said about the guys, I think back to those times when I was early days in King Sturge, and sadly the only females that were there were, and I hope I get this right, because if somebody was to listen, but this was about, you know, I think there was one female management surveyor, property management, which you often used to get, the token female. And I think the rest of the team were all male, but the only female were the admin staff and the secretaries.
Yeah. And yeah, it was I would say that's probably about right.
There was one secretary per two, you know, per surveyors.
Yeah,
everything was hyped up and everything else. So there was, you know, He was an office manager that was female. It was just, that was just the thing, you know, and even as a graduate as well, in because of course there used to be a lot of things, the Cardiff graduates. Again, you know, I was the only female industrial surveyor at the time.
That's crazy, isn't it? And this is going back 20 years.
Yeah,
Yeah,
this
or
is
so,
20
you
years
know.
ago, which isn't actually that long
It's
ago.
not, is it? It's not. I guess, you know, things, I would like to think things have moved on. Let's just touch on that though. So you are, you know, in uni, you're surrounded by predominantly males in not just your course, but in and from the lecturers as well. Did that make you more determined? Did it have, actually, no, did it have any impact? Did you even notice it back then?
Really, because
No.
I've been always quite an ambitious and determined individual anyway. I mean, my dad, you know, it makes me laugh and he doesn't realize how un-PC it is to say it, but he used to call me a squat, you know, and he just that's that and he still says it now. You always were a squat, Lucy, you know, you always were. And he jokingly says it, but actually now we know, you know, I'd never say that to my children now.
Never,
No,
no.
that was just a generational thing. But you know, so no matter, I think I was always quite academic, you know, I always wanted to achieve and achieve highly. That was always my way. And I always wanted to do something properly. So whether or not I subconsciously, you know, push myself harder or not, I don't really know. I don't think it would have made any difference, if I'm honest, because actually,
That's just the person you are anyway.
I mean, it certainly made me more aware of it as I've gone through life. And certainly, you know, I'm sure we'll touch upon it, you know, things to do with management opportunities and things like that, which I think I have been impacted by being a female. And I, you know, a maternity cover, you know, maternity leave and having to do that. So, but in those early stages, I certainly wasn't consciously aware of.
It's really interesting because, like, knowing you, I can imagine it probably wouldn't have made, and I'm glad you kind of said that it wouldn't have made much difference, because that's the kind of person you are. You want to succeed and you want to get on in your way, regardless of if, you know, gender or whether you identify as. But let's just talk about that. So that was my next question, actually, and you obviously read my mind. What sort of challenges, I'm going to use the word challenge. Yeah, did you come up against in the, or have you come up against in the time as being identified as a female?
I think there's a couple of things that strike me, and I've got to be careful of how I say this and what I say, because obviously, you know, I don't necessarily like to sit on, you know, that shelf that sort of, oh, I'm a woman, I'm, you know, it's a
Yeah,
funny
good.
thing. But actually,
Yeah.
you know, I've achieved what I've achieved, and I'm happy with what I've achieved so far. And actually, yes, I've had certain gender barriers, and yes, I've kind of, there has been times and which I could have taken things further, shall we say, which I've chosen not to, because actually, again, it could have been detriment to me and reputation, and I don't like to, you know, I've been able to prove myself without actually throwing my weight around saying that this is, you know, this is
I
a
love
position.
that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I just
I bloody love that. Will you say that again?
yeah,
Honestly, I've proven myself without having to throw my weight around about if I'm male or female. You've
female,
just
and
done
that
it. Yeah.
yeah, and I genuinely think that's a big thing, because it does annoy me, you know, and I'm not a feminist, I'm not a fem, you know, I'm not a feminist, I'm not a feminist, you know, but it does annoy me that there is sometimes this whole sort of thing about women, you know, not getting a position, or, you know, there's not enough women on the boards and things like this, and then you become a token woman in this, and I don't agree with that stance on things, because actually you don't have to be female or male to be good at what you do. And you know, if you can prove it, then I think that's a big thing. And that's what I've ultimately maintained throughout, you know, because
Fantastic.
and Yeah, people come to you because of reputation, because of what you've
What
done,
you've
what you've
done.
achieved. And I think that's a big thing. You could be male and could be awful at what you do. You just, you know,
Yeah, yeah. And that's so true. And I'm often in the middle. I'm like, can't make a decision as well sometimes. But I,
Yeah.
you know, and I get it. I get it. And I think I love that what you just said about, you've done what you've done on your own merit, regardless of male or
Absolutely.
female.
It,
Yeah.
absolutely. And Hals, I've got a lot of male allies as well as female allies.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
and people, and I'm happy to support that the other way around as well, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's my.
Absolutely. And on that though, and I'm very agree with what you said, but I think on merit as well, let's actually lean into the fact that you're still really predominantly in a male-driven industry, but you've proven that you don't have to be male to get where you are.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, yes, it's probably constrained me in some ways, but I've looked for the opportunities when there's been those pushbacks. And I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
There's always the talk of, oh, it's, jobs for the boys kind of thing.
Classic, isn't
And
it?
I always, and it's quite funny, I play golf, and you see a lot of the guys playing golf and things like this. I get asked what my handicap is, and it's kind of, oh, it's always great to have that answer back as well, because they think you're going to be just starting out, and it's like, oh,
Yeah.
come to our golf day, and then I have a conversation. I mean, but ultimately, I do think, yeah, you look for those opportunities if
Yeah.
the, you get pushbacks on others. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Is there anything that you would do or have you done differently in, the last, this is a big question now, isn't it, really? In the last 20 years that you go, oh, actually, yeah, maybe I would have done X, Y differently to achieve something a bit faster or gone a bit slower. Is there anything that really stands out that you think you would have done differently?
It's funny because I do reflection every now and again, when you set your goals and things like that, and obviously work we've done, and your journal and things like that, where you reflect on where you've come from and where you are now and where you're going. And it's funny because I actually see it the other way, in that, I got made redundant in 2009 from Alder King. And actually, I was very complacent. I had my comfort blanket.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly walking. We were living up in Gloucester at the time. And I remember there was snow because it was around February. And I remember walking. We didn't have a dog or anything. I just went for a walk because
Yeah.
I thought it was a reflection on me that I'd been made redundant. And I walked the streets around the house thinking, because I just needed that time out. And I thought, this is that push I actually needed. And actually, it's funny because, leaving the business last year, which, we've talked about, and actually, it's kind of sometimes these things happen when you don't realize they're going to happen, and actually they happen for a reason. And therefore, to have that regret, or that, or actually, would I've done something differently kind of thing, not necessarily a regret, but the thing of, oh, would I've done something differently? I reflect on those incidents actually, rather than actually thinking about, well, where did that junction then take
Yeah,
me? And
yeah.
actually, 2009 was a quite an important part in, point in time in my life, because I ended up getting into the retail world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
And
exactly, I had a job offer from, Tesco. I had a job offer from Store 21, and I had another offer from a company who did a lot of work for retail down in Oxford. And I would never have got into that position had it not
No.
been being made redundant. So I think every point, these things, these life events happen for a reason, and
Yeah. Yeah.
often happen when, almost kind of naturally, you're ready for that change.
Yeah,
So I'm a
absolutely.
massive believer in fate, and yeah, something's happening for a reason.
Yeah. And it comes on before we came on live, we were trying to think of a phrase We were talking about letting go of certain clients and opportunities and things like that. And there was a phrase, and I still can't pledge you remember it.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's something that, when I can remember it, actually, it kind of does resonate with me as well, because, you know, these things are out of your control, right? The redundancy is out of your control. And it's what you can take from those opportunities then will make you stronger. And, you know, the likelihood of, if that hadn't happened, we may never have met, because you would still be living in Gloucester, you know? All of these things come around full circle, don't they?
Absolutely.
So let's just talk about a little bit how we did meet. And I mentioned at the beginning, we met at a local networking. I think we were just chatting about like getting focused and how we really focus our goals and how we stay productive and focused. And then you reached out to me a couple of weeks later, wasn't it, saying, oh, I'd love to have a chat. And I was like, oh God, yeah, great. And you said something about like, oh, you know, you really helped me in that short space of time. And it's funny, because I was just talking in general, you know, it's what I do all the time. But you realised at that point you needed somebody that wasn't already in your world, in your present company, to go, right, I need somebody to help with whatever it is we worked on.
Focus. I think it was confidence and focus, wasn't it? And I think that was a big thing. And, you know, sort of that ability to kind of to move forward from something that, you know, a life event and something that had gone on. And I remember... I remember telling you that I'd sort of interviewed, you know, let's call it interview, more like, you know, you have an informal chat with people sort of from a business coach sort of, you know, sort of role. And you and I clicked, because I think you got it, because you'd been from a retail background. And of course, it's my passion too. And, you know, that ability to understand what I'm talking about when we're talking about shopping centres and like retail. And all that kind of malarkey.
All the stuff that you and I love. Loads of people be like, I couldn't be more boring for some people.
Exactly. It's just like double dutch. It's like, what the hell are they offer? You know? So, And I think we just gelled. And similar, as we said, similar age group, you know, so it's kind of nice to be able to talk it through. And putting those things in place then to help me kind of focus as to... you know, the sort of KPIs we put in place and those kind of things, and this focus about thinking about, right, where do I want to get milestones, etc. And all out.
And I'd love to just take a couple of steps back there if we can. So, and not really to do with me, but when did you realize that, you know, you were busy, you were doing well, what you're doing, but you realize that actually I can't do this on my own right now. I need some support. Were you at that stage where you were thinking, right, I'm going to burn out, or I'm going to go in a direction I'm not going to go in? What really hit home for you and thought, right, I need to do something here for Lucy?
So it's obviously difficult to talk about. But essentially, I mean, I'd kind of got to a place at the back end of 2022 and realised that being in a business, you know, sharing the business with somebody else and being, you know, director of another business and not being my own, shall we say.
I was
getting quite frustrated with, and I wanted, you know, a lot of sort of who I was working with, my own clients, and I wanted to actually work and have those clients solely in my business perspective. And then, and also be able to decide the journey and the path that my business wanted to take. Mm. Therefore, I was the curator of that rather than having to make decisions with somebody else. Mm. I think that was a big thing for me. And it was taking that step of, you know, I went to the States in October 22 and on a family holiday. And I remember just having that time out. You know, I remember it vividly, sort of lying on a sun lounger in this fabulous hotel we were staying in, thinking, right, I've just got to do it. I've got to take that jump. But at the time, I was thinking, you know, I had a number of clients saying to me, you can do it. And at the time I was thinking, well, can I? So I decided over Christmas, that was it. You know, I was going to tell my business partner that I was wanting to leave. And decided then, you know, early January to set the business up, and that's where we got to really.
Yeah.
And a case of, you know, let's go for it,
let's do it.
And then that, obviously at that point, because I was kind of in quite a vulnerable, sensitive place, I suppose, if you like, I just thought I just needed that extra support and somebody to be able to provide me with the tools to help me sort of think about, look, you know, I know I can do it, but confidence to know you can do it and to make those next steps. And that's what, you know, where we got to really.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, no, and thanks for sharing that. Thanks for being so honest as well. And the reason I wanted to get you to really just say that is that I think a lot of people get stuck, and a lot of people don't have that, the confidence or, you know, the support even, or the drive or the want to go, do you know what? I'm meant for more, and I want to be, like you said, I love that phrase, the creator of your own journey.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having somebody, whoever that is, whatever that looks like, you know, it could just be talking to your friend, your partner, whoever.
But someone independent, I think.
Yeah, it is better. Absolutely.
And I think, I just think somebody who, you know, we didn't really know each other at that point in time.
No.
You didn't know any of my history, and actually I can sit and talk to you about, actually, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think, this is what I want to achieve, this is what I want to get out of it, and the ability to kind of, you know, just kind of set up a path really is where you want to take it. And it's funny, and it's funny what you're saying, because I've had many a conversation with friends and peers, and if they listen to this, they'll know who they are, whereby they sort of said to me, how did you do it, you know, how did you do it, how do you find it? And listen, it isn't blooming straightforward, and it's not easy. And you know one of my friends very well, and her and I have had this conversation about, when you're running a business, everybody thinks it's very glamorous, and you know, you can clock off on a Friday whenever you fancy, you know, you can go for lunch, you know, whenever you feel like it, and things like that. It is flipping hard.
Yeah.
And the worry of your pipeline and you know, your competition and what your competition and what they're doing and what they're doing differently, and you know.
I was gonna say, and that's so true, because yes, you can choose to finish when you want, you can choose to take those lunches, and we'll come on to a bit of self-care and how we look after each, you know, you as a person in a bit, but actually there's so much more that comes with having your own business, running your own business. You know, you are the brand, right?
You are the brand. And you become head of HR, head of finance, head of IT,
head of sales, head of marketing, of these things.
And this is why
I say, though, like, yes, you are all those people, but get the support around you. You know, find those people that actually, it might not be your zone of genius to, you know, all about your finances. That's okay.
Don't think
you have to do it all on your own. And if you're in a position where you can outsource or get, you know, really undertake some, you know, free classes or something, or spend a bit of money, absolutely do that, because otherwise you'll get to a point where you don't do any of it because you've burnt out.
And you don't, and it's funny, because I always remember someone saying to me, as I was sort of progressing up the kind of career ladder, it was actually my old boss. He said to me that as soon as you become that sort of head of, you lose doing the fun stuff. The stuff that you originally did, you know, the deals making, you know, all that kind of stuff, because all of a sudden you are writing contracts, you know, employment contracts, you're trying to keep on top of your P&L, you know, and it's things like that. And it's funny, because I'm just in the process of changing my accountant for this reason, because I've got a new accountancy firm that are coming on board. They help with businesses that are scaling up. They do things on your HR, you know, they offer this fully fledged service. And I think that will, even though it's a bit more expensive, the way I looked at it is that actually the money that I've got to spend a little bit more will save me time, and I can carry on with my value add stuff.
You're so right there. You're so right. Because actually a lot of people get scared of investing. And I'm glad you just said that, because yeah. people think, oh, but I can't afford to pay for an account, or I can't afford to do that. Yeah. But actually, what are you going to gain from doing that, right? Yeah. What are you going to gain from spending a bit of money? You're going to get more energy. And actually going back to the things, the reason why you set up a business.
Well, absolutely.
To do with the enjoyment side of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So if you did want to clock off at, you know, 2 o'clock on a Friday, if you did want to go for lunch with somebody, how do you actually do that now? How do you look after Lucy King?
Well, it's funny, actually, because having said all that I've just said, I have had quite a tough week and my husband said to me the other day, he said, he's off on Friday tomorrow. Mm. And he said, can I take you for breakfast?
Oh.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Did you say yes straight away?
Yeah. I thought, it's funny, because I thought after the week I've had, I thought, you know what, actually, it's nothing mess. And actually, tomorrow afternoon, as you know, I've got the horses. I'm actually going to go riding the horse. I'm going to go out for breakfast in the morning, and I'm going to ride the horse then in the afternoon.
Brilliant.
Because actually, you know, I think self-care, I've realised, you know, I think back to that time in October when I was on holiday. Mm. When I was literally on the verge of a breakdown, and I went and bought the horse actually not long after he came back for this very reason.
Yeah, because I remember,
because it's kind of like, it's that ability to, with children, of course you've got to look after them, you know, understandably. and obviously, but they're in the house with you, you know, you can make them tea, etc. You can juggle at home with working. The nice thing is with the horse is that, you know, okay, yeah, we've got a loaner that will cover them a couple of days a week, but most nights I've got to go down and I've got to sort her out.
Yeah.
Well, both of them out now. And it's like, okay, I've got, you know,
you've got responsibilities now.
Yeah.
You've added another two children to your life, early.
Exactly. So I've got to get, you know, I've got to be able to do that. Now, okay, that might mean that I've got to be back in front of my laptop at 7 o'clock, but that's a choice that I make.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the balancing act. And, you know,
and you've benefited from it, right?
Absolutely.
Because and your time, that's, and I'm so glad you're in a place where you can go, yeah, actually, take me for breakfast. I'm going to go riding, because you know what? Nobody is going to die if you take a Friday afternoon off, right? We are not, I say this all the time, we are not life-saving, you know, heart surgeons. It's okay if we can step away.
It's okay. And often I've, you know, read a few books, which basically, you know, it's the whole thing about the burnout. It's about kind of, you know, sort of self preservation and these kind of things. If I was just to work a full-on day tomorrow, I wouldn't be motivated. I would be gutted because I'd missed out on breakfast with Rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would be, you know, on Facebook, on, you know, on the socials, and completely, you know, staring out the window. Actually, by taking that time out tomorrow means I'll come back into the office on Monday morning, or even Sunday night, because that's most of the time, and actually be motivated all over to do it all again, because I will be in a better frame of mind because I've had that time out just to reflect and have some time out away from it. And actually, and I, do you know what I think is so, so important? And I it's funny because I listened to Rachel Flanagan, who again is very inspirational individual, and she has done, you know, testing gender, you know, sort of stereotypes and things like this, you know, she's done incredibly. And she basically said, and I thought this is brilliant, that she every year takes herself off, they go on some sort of walking, some hiking in the Alps for like a week, 10 days, something like this, she was saying. And she did it in a, she said it in a talk recently. And she said every year, she's already booked, she goes into it just because she has some time out. And that same time, okay, it's not with a family, but it's her, it's time for her to have that, you know, that time away from it.
And I think I love that. It is. And I remember when we, you know, around the first time when we met, I was, what do you do for you, Luce? And you were like, it was very much that kind of like, oh, nothing. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, let's build some of that in.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you've just gone. Yeah. And I love what you said, right? It'll stick with them Monday. You're going to be more motivated. Because again, if you work tomorrow, you're just going to be sat there thinking, you're going to be probably, you know, whatever you're working on, you're not going to give it your all because your mind's going to be thinking somewhere
absolutely. As I call it, daydream dolly, you know, that's what I'll be. I won't be concentrating at all. Or Dolly the Daydreamer.
Dolly the Daydreamer. Yeah. Okay, so for anybody that's thinking of starting out on your own, you know, if you're in a position where you were thinking, right, I need to kind of break free or let go from what I'm doing, what is there a top tip that you've got for them?
I think the more you procrastinate about thinking about it, the more self-doubt you'll put into your mind. Yeah. So if you've got an itch, just go and do it. I mean, the things I think that you can put in place to give yourself some comfort, that because often a lot of it is doubts around where your book of business is and where that income is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you are leaving, you know, sort of one of the biggies, you know, the big sort of entities in, you know, the UK, the sort of the consultancy firms, etc., which are turning over quite a bit of money, etc., you will already have existing clients. Now, you know, it may not be that you can target those because often you might have non-compete, etc., but, you know, there's ways and means to have those conversations. And I think, you know, a lot of these people will be working for bigger organizations and will be wanting to make the leap, and their clients will be there because of them, not because of the actual organization. It's often you and that person rather than the organization. And I think, you know, that would go for any industry. If you've got that doubt, you've got that itch. And I think it's an interesting one, because I think ultimately, if you've got that itch will demotivate you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's like, go and scratch it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the likelihood is you can always return.
What a number of people said to me when I was self-doubter.
Amazing. Right, I could talk to you for days because I'm so fat, and obviously I love property and, you know, background. We haven't even touched on that really. But a really important question for you now, Luz. If you had to choose now, and you couldn't spend all day procrastinating, what would be your favourite cake?
Oh, I think a jam donut. I love a jam donut.
I've laughed so much that nobody's ever said a jam donut before. Jam donut.
It's really simple. Yeah, because, you know, you just think about it. And then they try and complicate it by making it vanilla or chocolate or blueberry. And it's
if you want a donut, just have a bloody jam donut.
Jam donut.
And love it. Do you know what? Yeah, you can get like four for a quid. Is that sort of thing? I don't know. I've had jam donut for years.
And most places sell them. So you never have issues over, you know.
You can't get them. Jam donut. Love that.
I'm a simple girl. Like the daydream whilst eating her donuts.
They love it. Right. If people are interested in getting in touch with you for any aspect of what you do, how can they find you?
Amazing. I've got my website, so www.gellarproperty.co.uk, or they can easily drop me an email at lucy@gellarproperty.co.uk. That's probably the best way to get hold of me.
Great. And you're on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn's
one of the best ones.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I was really nervous about doing a first podcast. I really enjoyed it.
Podcast Virgin has smashed it.
Thank you very much, Helen.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Fabulous and Female. As always, my leaving message to you is, remember to do the one thing that makes you feel fabulous. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review.